Greet each one in Jesus' name again this evening. Happy for the presence of each one here. Know that a week of meetings, as the week wears on, can get to be, well, a little tiring. And trust, though, that as our spirits are refreshed, as we look into the Word of God, it adds some eagerness to come, even when our bodies are a little weary. And we'll try, as we look into the Word of God again tonight, to find that refreshment for our souls. You can turn to 1 John chapter 4, and we can read our memory passage, or you can kind of read and say it, practice, because as soon as we read it together, then I'll give opportunity for more volunteers to say this. 1 John chapter 4, start with verse 17. Altogether, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We could spend all evening on memory verse and it'd be profitable. Thank you for applying yourselves, and there'll be some more opportunity to say these verses. I trust that as we commit them to memory, they speak to our hearts. And, you know, it's one of those things that there's so many other things that are easy to remember, so many stories that are easy to remember. My wife and I have talked about this numerous times with our little children. They get a story tape and someone is telling a story, maybe in a strange voice, and it doesn't take long. They can repeat it word for word, just almost the same voice sounding as they go through this. And yet sometimes we struggle with Bible memory. And there's times that we've said, oh, you turn that tape off now, let's work on some Bible memory. Driving down the road, and it's like, okay, it's enough of that. And it might be a good story tape, but let's memorize some verses. There's some real blessing in committing the Word of God to memory. Our theme has been that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I believe it was Tuesday night we looked at God and his love. Tonight, I'd like to look at another aspect of God, and you may turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Our main thoughts will come out of John's writings here in 1 John and in the Gospel of John. John talks about this subject, and I've titled the message, The Light Principle. This is a brand new message. This is like a fresh loaf of bread out of the oven. This morning, my wife had brought some books along that I had recently purchased. They say that you can tell when you're middle-aged when you enjoy reading marriage books. And we bought numerous ones, enjoy reading them together. Some helpful things we've learned in counseling and for our own experience. And so I picked up a couple marriage books, and I sat down and we were just looking at the one and dropped in the middle somewhere and began reading. And it was about this idea of light. And I said, we read through this chapter and like, you know what? That's the message for tonight. And so that's where it was born. I did not have this on my radar, my thoughts, thinking about coming here. But it was born in that thought this morning, and you'll perhaps hear some of that as we go through this. 1 John chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 5 through 10. The phrase or the capstone of this is verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let's read verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I have a number of points in tonight's message. The first point is that God is light. And it's very similar to that point we had the other night, Tuesday night, God is love. In that it is the very nature of God. It is a, you can't even say it's a quality of God. It is God. God is light. It's not something that he can lose or gain. It's something that he has. I think this, the very concept of light depicts the holiness and purity of God. Now, this verse does not say that God is a light. It says God is light. You see, if God is a light, then there's bright lights and lesser lights. This is not a comparison of lights. God is this very thing. And I've titled the message, The Light Principle. Because there's a principle that we want to think about, this principle of light, as it is understood in God and as it is understood in our own experience. Now, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the light of the world. So he did say, I am the light. See, our passage says God is light with no article in front of it, no A. And or the in front of it. God is light. But Jesus said, I am the light. Okay, when you put the in front of it, it removes the possibility of other lights. This is the light. The only light. The only light in the spiritual sense. And I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We could take that in the other side of that. We could take the opposite of that and say that if you don't follow me, you walk in darkness and have the darkness of death. So if you refuse to walk in Jesus, you're walking in the darkness of death. And so life and light come together. To walk in the light equals real life. To walk in darkness equals death, spiritual death. Now, this light dispels and overpowers darkness. It is superior. That's one of the strange things, or one of the interesting things about light and darkness, is that you really can't make darkness. Darkness is the result of the absence of light. And when you hinder the light, you automatically have darkness. And so that light is the overpowering thing. Darkness is the natural phenomena when light isn't there. And so this whole question of is it light or dark is not about where did darkness come from, but where did the light go? I know you can, there's some theories and some, I know people bat that around a lot, but light dispels and overpowers darkness, and when light comes, darkness leaves. And when the light goes out, darkness comes. They're connected. As the one comes, the other leaves. As the one leaves, the other comes. There's no neutral state. Now, we talk about twilight, and as it gets toward dark, or how dark is the night. But when light is gone, darkness sets in. Now, natural light was created first in the creation. I believe it's a type of spiritual light because light is the foundation of order and creation. Light, God created light. And it was the beginning of order and the creation. It's the spring of life and growth. You can't have plants growing without light, without sunlight. I think we sang tonight in the song, I Believe the Bible. It said, heaven's golden sunlight in its pages shine. And I noticed that because we're talking about light tonight. So light is this light is the spring of life and growth. It is the result of the presence of God. When God came, and when God faced the universe, when God, as he created the worlds, first thing that happened was light came on the scene, and then order, and then life, and then plants, and so it was at the beginning. This spiritual light is knowledge and truth. There's something about light that gives knowledge, and you can see and understand and perceive in light. In darkness, there's a lot hidden. You can look out there. I can look out there from here at vehicles parked, and I can't tell what color they are because they're sitting in the dark. Okay, there's a lot that you couldn't know looking at them in the dark. But in the daylight, the light exposes what are they, and you can understand. You can know more about it because of light. Now, so light is knowledge and truth. God is a God to be known and loved because God is light. He's a God to be known and loved and understood in a way. And yet we can't fully understand God. But God is a God. God delights in being known to man. He is a God of light. Do you know what heathen gods are marked by? They're marked by darkness. They are mystical. They are distant. They're unknown. Often heathen gods, as people worship them, they do many things hoping to appease the gods, not really knowing. But God is not that way. God is light. He has revealed himself. He has revealed his will. You and I can know what it takes to make God smile. Because God is light. He's revealed himself. You can know. We can't really know God, but yes, we can know God. You understand that? And so this first point is God is light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Go with me to John chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 1 through 9. John starts his gospel story of Jesus and Jesus' life on earth with this thought of light. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. There's that idea of light and life together in Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so, Jesus, notice verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness. It doesn't say, this is talking about Jesus coming. It doesn't say, and the light shined in darkness. Like when Jesus was here, it shined and it's gone. I forget the term for it, but it's a verb that means it continues to happen. Shineth, and the light shineth in darkness. When Jesus came into this world, he brought a light into the world that was lit, that shines all through time, and it shines here tonight through this word. And it's a principle that's here that men must do something with. They have to receive it or reject it. The light principle was brought by Jesus, and man has to face it. Every man that comes into this world has to do something with the light. This light principle, it cannot be put out. It says it shineth. Well, just keep your finger here in John chapter 1, and let's flip back to Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus, as that light in the world, as he worked, as he ministered among men, he faced rejection. And one of the things that he did was he spoke in parables. And the disciples were puzzled. Why do you speak in parables? And he explained it. And basically what he said is, the reason I speak in parables is because if you have received the light, you understand the parable, and the light gets brighter in your life. But if you reject the life, it doesn't mean a thing to you, and you continue on in darkness. Let's notice what he says in verse 10, Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Do you realize what verse 12 is saying? This is about parables and spiritual truths. This is not about money in the bank account. This is about parables and receiving. And he says that to him that hath the light shall more light be given. And to him that hath not, the very light that he has shall be taken away. What man does with the light, a man with a little light, loving that light, will be given more light. But a man with light, hating that light, the light's going to be taken away from him. You're either headed toward having more light or away from the light. And there's no neutral ground. He says, therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. There's a tremendous spiritual truth there, in that you and I have the light in our hands tonight. You hear the light of truth preached. You hear the word. And you got to do something with it. And if you push it off, push it in a corner and say, I don't want to listen to it, you're going to lose the light that you have. But if you soak it in and appreciate it and appropriate it, you'll get more light. It's the very nature of this, because God is light. And if we reject the light, we walk away from it, we walk into darkness. So that was point number one. Point number two, we go back to John chapter 1. Point number two is that every man is made with the light principle in his heart. John 1:9 says, that was the true light. Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that comes into this world. Every human is born with a light, the light principle lit in their heart. That's what the scripture says. Here's how it works. Children don't need to be taught to hide when they do wrong or disobey. Why? There's the light principle in their heart. They know this is wrong. You either got to admit it or you got to run and hide. That light principle starts wee young. It's lit in every man's heart. Lying to cover up wrongdoing comes natural. Even a man totally outside of Christ, even a man who knows not the gospel, has the light principle at work, because he will hide when authorities come when he's doing wrong. He don't need to know a thing about the Bible. He don't know a thing about God, because the light principle is lit in his heart. And that light principle is there to point the heart toward God. That's why we need to share the gospel. That's why we need to share the light. That's why we need to be reflectors of the true light. Draw men to the light so that they can understand what the light is all about. But this light principle is lit in every man's heart. But this light principle is a spiritual principle that's known only to man among the created world. It's not known by the beasts and the birds and the fish. This light principle that we're talking about is known by souls, because we're created in the image of God, and we only can connect with it. Now, I know it's true when you teach your dog to obey and do certain things and he does wrong, sometimes they act guilty. I've sensed that somewhat. But they do not understand the light principle like you and I do. Tonight, when I talk about this light principle, even little children can understand. Because when you do wrong, you want to hide. You don't like it exposed. You want to wait till mom's not watching to take the cookie out of the cookie jar, because you don't want to be seen. You don't do it in front of her. That's this light principle that you want to hide if there's trouble. You don't do it out in open light when mom can see if you're doing what's wrong. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 19. We'll come back here to John chapter 1 again. But John chapter 3, verse 19. John talks about, Jesus talks about this, and John records it. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deed may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see that? This is the judgment. This is, in fact, if the way I understand this, this is one of the things that God set up to show us the difference from right and wrong, what you do with the light. It's one of the things to test our hearts, or to show our hearts, whose are we? What are you doing with the light? Light came into the world, and suddenly man has to do something with it. And light is in this world. Light is lit in every heart. And it draws a straight line down through. And every conscience has to do something with the knowledge of the light. And they either have to accept it and do righteous to live in openness, or to do otherwise, you got to run away from the light and hide. Every man is made with this light principle in his heart. Look at Adam and Eve, the very first story in the Bible. Creation barely happened. I don't know how long they lived in the garden, but they sinned. And what did they do? They understood the light principle. God didn't tell them to run and hide, but they understood that. And they hid because they knew something was wrong. Listen to Cain lying about Abel. Why? Because of the light principle was lit in his heart. And God starts asking him questions, and he says, I don't know, am I my brother's keeper? And he lies. Why? He didn't want God to know. He didn't realize God already knew. But he was hiding. And God revealed in that story, just like he did in the story of Adam and Eve, you can't hide from God. God is light. What you did in full brightness. You did in God's full knowledge. Look at Achan taking the fit, and why did he take it and hide it in his tent? You know, the very act of hiding establishes our guilt. I heard a story. I'm not going to tell the details of the story, but it basically went like this. Someone tried to say, I didn't know it was wrong, but they had it hidden. You can't do that. When you hide it, there's only one reason you hide it. Well, I guess if it's a valuable and you hide it so no one steals it. But that wasn't the case with this. The moment you hide it, you reveal that in your heart you did know it was wrong. It was not accepted. Look at Gehazi, coveting and then going after getting. And then he comes back and he goes and puts it away. Why didn't he bring it in front of Elisha? No, he goes and puts it away among his stuff, comes into Elisha, smiles. And Elisha said, where did you go? And he said, oh, I didn't go anywhere. The light principle. He's got a whole other life. He's a double man. He thinks he can live one way. He had this whole whatever amount of time it took. And he pursued that, and then he steps into this other world with Elisha and says, I'm fine. And God revealed to Elisha, it's not that way. You can't do that. You look at Ananias and Sapphira. They planned this story, and they came, and they were carrying this out, and they faced death. Peter said, you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible's full of this struggle with light and darkness, and it shows us the result when you walk against it. Listen, every man is lit with this light, and we have to do something with that. In fact, I believe that this light is in little hearts while we're innocent before God. And it's at work because little people hide from their parents as their authority if they do something wrong. They're not yet responsible before God, but they're wrestling with that and working it out with their parents. Their parents are correcting them, and they find release to their conscience. That's what happens in the state before we're accountable. But as we get older, we start to move over into the realm where we start to see God. And we realize that what I used to do to my parents, I'm now doing before God. And the way I would want to hide from my parents, I want to hide from God. And I sense that gulf between us, and something needs to be fixed. Because that light principle is in every heart. All men are either drawing closer to that light or rejecting and heading away from it. You have to do something with the light. Every man is doing something with the light. Now, number three, point number three is that the light demands repentance and honesty. Here in John chapter 3, 19 through 21, Jesus talks about this condemnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they reject and they run for darkness because that's what they want. Men who are not willing to change or to be purified by light have only one choice, to stay in darkness and seek more darkness. Actually, darkness grows more darkness. It's one of these principles that we must understand, because if you think you can have a little darkness in your life, we sing that song about the little room in our heart where even I don't go. What I must tell you about that is when you have a little room in your heart where even you don't go, it won't be long, you'll have a second room or a bigger room. And after a while, you have a third room. And after a while, you have a fourth room. And after a while, you have a house that you can't let God into. That's how that is. Darkness grows more darkness. Now, as soon as there is exposure to the light, we must admit it and say, that's me. Or we will deny and run and cover and look for more darkness. Look for more cover. It's just the way it works. Now, our world is working at a different approach to this. You see, we're talking about either running from the light and hiding, or we're talking about exposing and saying, well, that's me, and I'm, you know, this is what I've done wrong. Our world is trying to redefine what's right and wrong so they don't need to hide, so they can do it in openness. And that's why some of the shameful things are being done in openness. And one of the things that we must understand is as a society of people endeavor to put away the principles of truth, and they redefine things that once were clearly understood as right and wrong, there's no stopping with that. There's no stopping with that. And so while today things like murder are wrong, it won't be long when society is rejecting all the other truths until it'll be okay in some settings or some places. And after a while, even that can be okay anywhere. You see, when a society begins to redefine what is right and wrong, there's no stopping, because it's the darkness principle at work, and the darkness principle will grow more darkness. And they're endeavoring to redefine it so that they don't need to run from the light, but to say, this is all fine. Therefore, we don't need to run from the light. And yet, deep down within their hearts, people who will stop and think and listen to the voice of God in their hearts, they know there's a light principle there. They know. In fact, that's one of the reasons why people reject. And that's one of the reasons why people would flare up when the truth is talked to them. You know what? If it's a non-issue, if it's nothing that really matters in life, you don't need to flare up and get upset about it. Well, light demands repentance and honesty. Number four goes a little farther, and that honesty is at the core of this light principle. Honesty is at the core of this light principle. The realm of evil and darkness hides and acts like there's nothing hidden, or lies to cover up the real need and the sin. We have this term, this book that we were reading used the term duplicity. We have this temptation to duplicity, meaning that it's this idea that you can have two lives. And this is the normal you, but you can step over here and enjoy some of this. But this life doesn't know about it, and then step out of that back over to here. That's duplicity. Honesty, though, is at the core of this light principle. And what I just described to you, a double life, doesn't work. It's the principle of darkness at work. And you can't live in light in this experience and live in darkness over here without darkness coming over to this experience as well. We have this word called transparency, meaning a life open before men, open before your spouse, before your parents, before your ministry. Nothing to hide. Honesty is at the core of this light principle. And whenever whenever we must act a lie or say a lie, we're walking in darkness. Now, lies and dishonesty are generally never orphans. That's a quote from this book this morning. Lies and dishonesty are generally never orphans. They come with a whole family and the father of lies. They're not by themselves. And as soon as, you know, when it's easier to talk about it when we were little children and not talk about lies that we're tempted with today. Let's just talk about when mom asked if I took a cookie out of the cookie jar and I lied. And then, you know, maybe I have to lie again. I'm not hungry for supper because I had several cookies. And then, why aren't you hungry? And I you know, one lie begets another lie. And sometimes it calls for more lies. And then what happens is if you lied yesterday about cookies and today you're tempted with something else, if you got by with it and told yourself it's okay to do what you did, then the temptation today is really strong because I can do that. I've learned how to run this double life. I've learned how to step over here and indulge and step back over here and say, I'm fine. I didn't have any. I'm obedient. And so lies and dishonesty come with a whole package. One lie requires another lie. Acting a lie often requires telling a lie. Telling a lie requires acting a lie. And it's a vicious cycle because it's darkness. It's hiding from the light. And when we do that, you got to keep running from the light because the moment the light springs on you, you got to admit that you were in darkness. And in fact, the longer you run in the dark and the more lies you told, the harder it is to tell the truth, because now you got to admit, not only did you take the cookie, you lied about it once, you lied about it twice, and you made a big mess. In fact, with any hidden sin, the dishonesty involved is almost always worse. I use that term worse because I don't know what other word to use. The dishonesty involved is almost worse than the sin. You think about any kind of someone stepping forward and confessing some great need in their life that was hidden for a long, long time. And they went through counsel and communion and it's hidden. And whatever it was, often we think about moral failure, but not just that, but something like that. And it's going on for year after year after year. And then it's found out. Then it's exposed by the lie, or it's confessed. And working through the dishonesty that was part of it is almost harder than working through the sin itself. Because we look around and we say, but are you being fully honest right now? Like, have you told me the whole story? And human hearts are that wicked that they can confess one thing of failure while there's still another one in the closet. And they can go through that and years later discover, oh, there was another one that was never talked about. That happens. We're talking about this light principle and what happens when you start running in the darkness. The darkness is the bad side of it. Yeah, the sin is bad too. I'm not justifying that. But the dishonesty that goes with it. So honesty is at the core of this light principle. The only way to have the light in our life is to have honesty. You know, when a man gets touchy about questions or the exposure of need, it's never a good sign. When you begin asking some questions and they get really ouchy about it, they get ouchy about the way it's handled or what's going, that's not a good sign. Some will go to Matthew 18 and they'll say, well, you must come and talk to me first. Often that's an intimidation thing. You know, Matthew 18 is about a personal offense. So you did something and offended me. I need to go directly to you. But if there is sin in a heart and it is known by another member in the congregation, we have some responsibility to help that need be addressed. Now, I know of a situation, or I've heard of a situation where someone knew of a hidden sin in a brother's life, and they approached him about it, and they said, look, this needs to be confessed. I know this happened. I saw it. You need to go confess it. If you don't, I will need to go to the ministry. I'll give you the opportunity to go first. That's a really honorable approach. To go one-on-one and say, look, this needs to be confessed. But sometimes individuals come off with this thing, hey, it's Matthew 18, you come to me. And part of the reason they want that is because as this one-on-one thing happens, they can, it's easier to lie with only one person involved in it. Hey, listen, don't you, and intimidate and pressure and hold this thing shut because it's only one person talking to me. I think we need to be careful how we handle concerns, but when we get touchy about exposure to need, that's not the light principle at work. The light principle at work is open. And if somebody, if I have something hidden in my life and somebody approached it the wrong way, the light principle says, well, I need help in my life. And I'm okay if it came in a wrong package. I need help. Now, that's not to excuse it coming in a wrong package. I'm simply saying that oftentimes, though, when we choosing to live in the darkness, we get ouchy that it has to be done perfectly the way I'm approached and this is exposed or it's not right. And that is not true repentance. And it will not carry you through. It will not keep you from the next event because it's part of preserving darkness. And it will keep that darkness available in your life for the next temptation so you can run there and you can hide. Well, honesty is at the core of this light principle. Number five, we go back to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The point is this, walking in light produces open fellowship. He says, if you walk in the light, you have fellowship one with another. You can turn that around, and if we don't have fellowship, somebody's not walking in the light in whatever way. And so tonight, dear ones, dishonesty always destroys relationships. Walking in darkness destroys relationships, and covering it up destroys relationships. A spouse cannot fully give themselves to their marriage partner when they know they are hiding something. It hinders. It will pull that relationship down. A child cannot enjoy his parent's presence when he is covering sin and disobedience. You ever see that look on a child's face and you realize something's wrong? It's just not that freedom that used to be, not that innocence. There's something there. There's that the light is gone and there's darkness. A student in school cannot have that open, innocent relationship with his teacher when he's cheated and he's covering it up. It hinders relationships. As soon as there is wrongdoing and sin and there's the covering up of it, it begins to chop at the relationship immediately. It begins to cost. Now let's consider how simple honesty can build relationships. I'll give you a couple examples. I know that okra is a thing here in the South. I enjoy okra. But suppose a husband doesn't like okra. And his wife doesn't know it. Maybe it's a newly married couple. His wife doesn't realize it. And she makes something with okra. But he doesn't want to be honest about that he hates okra. He doesn't want to hurt her feelings. So he says, he's dishonest. He says, I'm not hungry tonight. And he skips the hot dish. And she wonder why he's not hungry. See the relationship? See the drifting apart? How much better for him to say, okay, honey, I'm going to tell you, I don't like okra. I have to find another way around this. And she knows what's going on. She knows that he didn't stop and eat out before getting home because he doesn't like her cooking or something's wrong in his experience. Just some kind, gentle honesty about the problem would have been much better. Suppose a child fails a test in school. A really bad grade. We got to face this light thing. I'm going to take it home and show mom and dad? No, I'm going to hide this one. So you go ahead and hide. Guess what? Mom and dad wonder, where are the papers? See, while you're hiding, mom and dad have to become a little bit more like a policeman to figure out, now, are all the papers getting home or why or what's here? They have to like chase it down. How much better for a child to come home and say, Mom, I really messed up. I got a terrible grade. suddenly now mom and dad can be on the child's side, maybe help them study better for the next test, maybe help fill in something and help them understand what you did wrong. Now suddenly mom and dad are an advocate on their side because the child was honest with a problem. But by running and hiding, they find themselves on the place in the place where they need an authority chasing them down to make sure they're not hiding. You see how living in darkness breaks relationships? Maybe a brother in the church is full of his own ego and brags on himself a lot, and you find it repulsive and you would rather avoid him. You can do that. You can just distance yourself and he'll always wonder why you're not close to him. And that's not a good thing to do. It would be better to just mind the spirit and in the right attitude, just sit down and talk. Say, look, brother, this is something that, you know, I see and it bothers me. And I'd like to share it with you. I don't want to distance myself from you. But this is how it looks. Some simple, humble honesty can build relationships as a brother tries to humble himself and be better. If both brothers will walk in the light and give and receive criticism in the light, you can grow that relationship. But too often we run and we hide from each other and we never really know what's there because we won't be honest, and it breaks down relationships, and it can be something pretty small, ended up in a large problem. Well, notice here from verse 7, it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's a cleansing that happens when we walk in the light and fellowship with one another. I think, though, this cleansing is different from verse 9, confessing our sin. This is the cleansing that happens when we walk in the light among brothers and sisters. This is the cleansing that we daily find. We find strength in honest relationships and brotherhood accountability. There's a real cleansing that goes on when we choose to walk in the light. There's something that happens to help us to be more victorious and to say no to temptation because we're walking in the light, we're accountable, and we're not allowing ourselves to run and hide in the darkness. And there's a tremendous cleansing of the day-to-day temptations when we will walk in the light. But as soon as we run to the darkness and preserve that kind of way of life, there's a tremendous defiling effect, because if I pulled one thing in the dark, I can pull two and three and four. And soon that life grows and it puts out the light. Just like Jesus said, if a man has light and he loves it, he'll get more light. And if a man has light and he hates it, he'll pull back from it. And even the light that he has, he will lose. And so there's positive blessings of this light. This light is not there to hurt us. It is there to expose sin, but there's tremendous power in living in the light. There's tremendous victory in this light principle. So walking in light produces open fellowship. Number 6, the last point is that confession is, and I didn't know what to call it, but I said this, confession is the application of light. The light applied to our heart. Confession is like opening up to the light. 1 John 1:9 here. Very, very familiar verse. We use this when helping individuals find peace in their heart, find the Lord. This promise that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every unrighteousness that's out there, anything, period, everything. There's not one thing that cannot be cleansed through confession. Now, consequences vary, and the journey to restoration and the journey, those things all vary, but there is nothing out there that cannot be cleansed. Confession brings freedom and release. Having sinned, having done wrong, some people jump the prison fence and run to a hidden cell in the basement to hide in darkness so they can be free, so they don't have to face their sin. And it's so foolish because they make themselves a slave to the master. They make themselves imprisoned to sin. And in that dark prison cell, sin begets sin and more sin grows. And they wonder why they're there. You know why they're there? Because they chose to run there instead of open up to the light and confess. They often cut off people who are walking lights of God because they don't want that light to expose them. Tonight, confession is where walking in the light begins. Confession. Honestly, to confess means to say our sins, to say what we did wrong, to put it in words. You know that confession of sin is the hardest conversation to start. We probably all found that at some point or another. Here's something that I must say. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I must go to a brother and say, I gossiped about you. Or I was angry at you and you saw that and I hurt you. To start that conversation, we stammer. We clear our throats. You ever been there? Confession of sin is the hardest conversation to start. But once it's started, it's not so hard to talk about. The fear of opening the door and talk is, Satan makes it look like a mountain that will kill us if we try to tackle it. And if we will, by the grace of God, open the subject, yes, it's hard. It's hard to face the consequences of sin and work through all that. There is a challenge to that. The nature of this whole thing of confession is that the actual opening up is terribly hard. It's not so hard to talk about what we need to do about clearing this up. Clearing this up. Accountability becomes easier once we've opened up and we said, look, I have this problem. I need help. And then to continue to talk about it every so often to share with someone and how are we making out on that. It's not so difficult once the initial confession is made. And so confession is the application of the light. Confession is where we take this dark box that's full of darkness and nobody knows it's there. And we bring it out and say, look at what I have in this box. I said the other night, I struggle a little bit with this concept of forcing confession, this concept of finding the evidence that a person is in sin and then exposing that and saying, look, brother, I caught you in this. And they say, oh, I'm caught. At 1 Corinthians 5, the church was to deal with the sin. It was a known sin. But there's something that is, well, let me say it this way. The path to restoration, the path to trustworthiness is a whole lot shorter when a man who has something completely hidden says, look, I will open the box and I will tell you things that you didn't know. And I will not hide anything when I open this box. Now, it can be an ugly box. It can be something that has consequences and needs to be worked through. But the path to restoration is a whole lot shorter. It's a whole lot better to open up your own sins and to have somebody else twist it out of us. You see, but the reason that this happens sometimes, that someone twists it out of us, is we can't hardly bring ourselves to tell on ourselves. That's the carnal heart that can hardly bring ourselves to confess. And someone else knows about it and has to finally say, you know what, this is here. Look, here's the evidence. And we don't have any other choice but to hang our head and say, yeah, that's right. And I believe there's forgiveness in those kind of events. Don't get me wrong with that, but it leaves the question, will this person be honest with the next need in their life? And so, the light principle. Where are you in relation to the light tonight? Are you loving it? Are you open and honest? Do you have nothing to hide? Is all taken care of? And you're not ducking and running for cover and hiding? Or is there something that you've been hiding, something that you've been covering, something that you don't want anybody to know? Won't you take the route of honoring the light and opening the dark box, opening your heart, saying, look, this is me. I'm struggling with this. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord, and you know you're beginning to feel that light principle at work, and you know that you need a Savior. You know you need to open up to that. Won't you open up? Won't you take the step? Won't you say, look, I want the light? Because Jesus said, if you love the light, you step into the light, you seek the light, you'll be given more light. And it is the light of life. If you stay in darkness, it is the darkness of death. And we don't want to do that. Tonight, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. Give opportunity if anyone has a need that you'd like to confess by publicly standing to your feet that I have a need in my heart I need counsel for. I know that's terribly hard. That's coming to the light. You might have been a church member for many years and you know there's something there and your heart's pounding. You know what you need to do. And the darkness principle says, don't you dare stand tonight. What will the people think? What shall we sing?